Tonight's reading is from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 1098 of the Pew Bible. The choosing of the seven. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what a blessing. Golly, what a group you guys have got. Fantastic. And to hear that lovely testimony. I haven't met Betty before tonight, so it's just lovely to meet Howard and Mandy from the Falkland Islands, who's come all the way up from Berkshire too. So that's just great that we can have this moment together to be praying for Betty, of course, praying for Christchurch. But as always with these services, when we come to the formal part in a moment, it's a moment for all of us to think about, well, what about me? Where do I fit into all of that? And the reading that Betty's chosen for us invites us to really think about that. And as Graham said, that's for all of us, whether you're wearing anything fancy or not. It doesn't make any difference in terms of God's calling. And it's very simple, really, very, very simple message. What this reading does is give us a kind of little microcosm moment in the early church of where a challenge, our challenge, becomes an opportunity and an opportunity for calling and renewing. So I want us to think about the challenge, but then to turn it from, as it were, the challenge into the opportunity. And as we're praying for calling, and Betty's calling particularly, just be open to what the Spirit might be saying to us about other things, and about that might be about for us individually or about us together as a church. What's so great about this reading, it's very simple really, is that there's something wrong in the life of the church. Shock, horror, oh dear. You know, people live in denial about that. I mean, maybe some reason people don't want to come to church is because they think it's perfect, and if they go, they'll spoil it, or they just think it's a bunch of hypocrites and it's so terrible that nothing can be done, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. But in the reading, we have a situation of something going wrong that is being described. But instead of doing nothing about it, they do something about it. I had something wrong with our car. We go to Mitchell's, as everyone, well, many people do. And in other words, you go to somebody who can do something about it. If you're ill, Betty talked about how, you know, they went to the doctor. They tried to find out, did something about it. And we go to the person who may know what is causing what is wrong and who might be able to offer a solution. And that's what we need to do in the church. And in this situation, if you're familiar with the story of the Acts of the Apostles, the church has grown exponentially. I mean, it really has gone whoosh. And we might think, wow, wonderful. You know, the church is full. All these people who speak different languages, who come from different cultural backgrounds. And it wasn't just the Jews. It was the Hebrews in this reading. It was the Hellenists, the Greeks, people who came not from a Jewish background, who came from an alien culture, but they had come to Jesus Christ. They'd heard the message about Jesus Christ, and they had believed him, and they recognized that his death and resurrection had a significance that went way beyond just Israel. It challenged some of the thinking and the actions of the culture that they came from, and they were converted. And that's great. And there were quite a lot of them. And they had families and households. Whether it was just one congregation or a group of congregations, we don't know. But there was clearly a number of them. And we're told in the Acts chapter 2 that some 3,000 were converted on the first day. And we know from these early chapters of the Acts that something quite significant was happening. And we might thought, well, wouldn't that be great if that happened up here? Well, we would, and it would, but, you know, we just think, oh, this, you know, then all our problems would be over. No more money problems, no more anything. But, of course, their problems are only just beginning, because the conversion was only just beginning. And what you find here is a community, and this is horribly familiar. After the first flush of enthusiasm for Jesus Christ, people revert back to their cultural norm. So the Jews don't really get on with the Greeks. So maybe it was just an oversight, who knows, but it just happened that it was the Greek women, the widows, who just kept on getting left out. And what's very honest about this passage is that the problem is named. And when you name it, you can do something about it. And they had the courage to name it. I mean, God have mercy on us for the stuff that is being named in the life of the church, which has not been named. And it's painful to name it. But it's only when we name it, then we can do something about it, and please God, we're doing something about it. And that's what happens. And you see the way it goes in Acts chapter 6 here. Those who have leadership responsibility, the 12, they gather everybody. It must have been quite a large gathering, given the numbers of people who are becoming Christians and who are being baptized. But somehow they manage to get people together in some form or another. And what's interesting and important about this episode is that, and this can sometimes happen if a crisis occurs in a church or in a community, everyone stops doing whatever they were doing and they kind of put all their energy into addressing the crisis. Sometimes that may be necessary if it's, I don't know, I can't think of an example. But what is really significant about this challenge is that the 12 don't do that. No, they say, actually, do you know what? Praying and the ministry of the word, which is the teaching of the Bible in the Christian community, but I think given what we've seen from the Acts of the Apostles, the speaking of the word out there in the community, that's got to carry on. And you can see why, because if that doesn't carry on, that pretty soon there isn't going to be a church, because nobody's going to come to faith. So they're very clear that that's what God has called them to do, and therefore they're not going to be sidetracked from it. And that's another great lesson when you're trying to sort something out that's wrong in the church. What you do with your resources, what you do with your energy, you don't stop doing the main thing, right? Keeping the main thing that the main thing is the main thing, somebody said, and it's quite a nice little aphorism of leadership, isn't it? What they do is they say, well, we shouldn't be doing this, the waiting at table. There is a real problem here. Who does God want to enable and resource to address the need? So the challenge becomes the opportunity. And the opportunity is realized as there is a choosing. It's seven men. They're full of the Spirit and wisdom. And there is a real process there. And it's probably one of the earliest examples of you know, in a sense, what we're doing here with Betty tonight. There is a kind of a process of discernment, of recognition, and then authorization and prayer with the laying on of hands. And it's quite significant that it's seven men who are named here. And this is just pure speculation on my part. It's because with all the kind of male-female issues around leadership in the ancient world as in the contemporary church, given the sensitivities of these two very, very different communities who were very much on edge with each other, it was felt that to kind of go beyond the men at that point was going to not really work. So they go for the men. But what is interesting, because these are deacons, they're named as deacons, and you go into the end of Romans, who is the first person Paul wants greetings to be sent to in the church in Rome? It is Phoebe, who is named as a deacon. And she's a benefactor. She's had serious legal responsibility, and they need to honour her and receive her as one of the saints. So though it's men at this point, it becomes women in the life of the New Testament, and that's quite significant in terms of the ordination of women. But whether you're a man or a woman, you need to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. In other words, whatever the ministry is, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it and why you're doing it. And that's not just to do with what we call competence. It's to do with character and, if you want the fancy word from the New Testament, charism, the Holy Spirit's gifting. And so the apostle, these people are here in our community. We need to find them. We need to identify them. We need to authorize them. And we need to bless them. And that's what happens. It pleases them, so there is a kind of commonality of agreement around this. That's important. And then we get the names, and then there is that formal moment. Did you notice that in 6? They are presented, and they prayed and laid their hand. It's all the laying of hands, and all this is just, we do it because that's what they did. It's a kind of physical recognition of God's presence coming. It's not anything to do with me, but it's the Holy Spirit, and we recognize that in the way we minister to each other. And then notice what happens. Well, a number of things happen, but we notice in what happens from verse 7, the word of God increases. So they've met the challenge, they've faced it, and it hasn't stopped the church growing. The word of God, when it says the word of God, it spreads. It's almost like kind of gossiping or nattering or neighbor to neighbor or over the fence or in the supermarket. People are just chattering. God, do you see what that church has done? Do you know that they're looking after those women? And they're Hellenists. Why? Something about Jesus. Something about the Holy Spirit. Something about God working. The challenge has become the opportunity, and the word of God has spread. And it's quite interesting, given that their ministry was to the Hellenists, the Greeks, who gets the blessing? Jerusalem. And actually, the priests, the Jewish priests, who are coming to faith in Jesus. I really just noticed that, actually. It's fascinating, isn't it, how you see it? But notice this. As far as the Acts of the Apostles are concerned, we hear nothing more about the neglect of widows or Hellenists. They've nailed it. They seem to have nailed it. What we find is that the very next thing, if you read on in Acts chapter 6 and 7, is that one of these men, Stephen, becomes the first, I don't know about how relevant this is, Betty, becomes the first martyr, because actually whatever else he's doing in terms of waiting at table with the women, he can't stop talking about Jesus Christ, and it gets him into a whole heap of trouble. And what captivates Luke, who's writing the Acts of the Apostles, is the way in which this guy takes it and keeps praising Jesus in the way that we've been doing tonight, even when they're throwing stones at him and killing him. And I think it's just an encouragement to me to not to lose faith in God's capacity to deal with the stuff that we know is not what it should be. And I think the challenges that we find and the challenges that Betty's going to find in her particular calling, I'm sure she will have found this as a social worker, but as she comes back into the life of the church here, working maybe with the other churches in Morton, I don't know, and seeing what God is doing, seeing where the things are, then as God has called her, and we've heard about the history and the story of that, that's going to carry on, because I'm quite sure, Betty, you're going to be calling out people here in terms of their ministry. And you're going to be part with Graham and the others here, Debbie, you're going to be part of actually releasing that gift, so that particular gifting and calling that the Lord has given to you, which will include the ministry of the word and prayer, will actually bless and grow the church in the way that the Lord wants to do it. And that's a wonderful thing. Because it means that however great the challenge is, and, you know, there are times when, well, for myself, you think, look, really, I think this one's a bit too much for you. This complaint, this situation, this breakdown of relationships. And it's, take it from me, it's possible to just put that on one side. Try and do it in your own strength. And of course, that's fatal. Or try and ignore it. But what we're given tonight, and Betty's reading, the reading she's chosen, wants us to see how when we face the challenge, God creates the opportunity. And he will anoint men and women to respond and serve. And that might have all sorts of consequences for them, but the word of God, the ministry of God, the kingdom of God will continue to bless and to grow. And we kind of need it more than ever, don't we? I mean, it's such an obvious thing to say. It's lovely to meet Betty and Howard from the Falkland Islands. Those of us of a certain age, how old was I? 82, when the Falklands War took place. I was just about 30. And I still remember when I saw all the ships going off down the Atlantic, the first time in my life I could ever remember the Royal Navy going to sea in anger. And I just thought, what is going to happen? And it was the same time, do you remember, when the Pope came, Pope John Paul? And this strange idea of the church in Argentina and the Christians in that community and Christians on the Falkland Islands and the kind of, oh, what is going on? Well, we know what happened. But as we pray for the Falkland Islands, as we pray for Argentina, we are so acutely aware of the deep divisions in the world. Ethnic groups, language groups, cultural groups, rich and poor. And we know that by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, we are called to be this new community. And that's who we are. And as we receive Betty's ministry, as we authorize her in a moment, let's thank God that for that ministry there in the Falkland Islands and for that renewed ministry in her home here in Morton and for all that God is going to do. Let's not be destroyed or defeated by the challenge, Let us make it the opportunity. Let us be open to the call of God in what he wants us to do in response. And let us see his blessing continue to grow.